Blog Talk Radio.
The clock goes tick tock, your heartbeat tip up. You know there's something greater you're called to be. You shut tight your eyes and breathe in.
Welcome to Shapeshifting. It's 8808, a special day, some amazing energies flying through the air, and we're all intending that the technology works today because we're all kind of seeing some interesting things going on. By the way, I'm Lisa Moniz. I'm the host of the show today. We've got a great show for you. We've got Elizabeth Ann Hill, a visionary author, amazing human being, all-around really nice girl. And then we've got Glenna Dietrich, a stunning trance medium. I've had readings from Glenna in the past, and she blows my mind every time. And these two are working on a project called Interview with the Universe, and we'll go into that a whole lot more in just a little bit. We've got a lot of time ahead of us. We'll be taking your chat room questions a little later in the show, so go ahead and log on into the chat room. We're going to be talking about what does 888 mean. We'll be talking about this interview with the universe. First, I want to give you some quick, fun updates on what's been going on in the shape-shifting world, in case you follow shape-shifting. I'm the author of a book called Shapeshifting, Reclaiming Your Perfect Body, and basically what that's about is, being your own healthiest self, not necessarily looking like a model or a centerfold, because maybe that's not the way your body is built. It's mostly about being authentic and genuine and really walking in your own power and, you know, just being as great as you can possibly be. And I've been taking a couple weeks off here just to kind of regroup. I'm going to be reworking the show in the near future, having a whole new format. I'll be announcing that fairly soon. But in the meantime, between then and now, maybe you've heard that I did a follow-up interview with Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell. I talked to him at the beginning of July just to do a basic interview because he's a fascinating guy. He was the sixth man on the moon, and he was the founder of the Institute of Noetic Science. But a few weeks after that, I was called by Blog Talk Radio saying, hey, Edgar Mitchell is making news all over the world because he has claimed that he believes that UFOs exist and that there are aliens on Earth and all sorts of things. And, well, this is no secret. He's been saying this for years, but they said, get him back on the air. So I called him up and said, let's do another show. And that show has been, wow, it's been spread far and wide. It is all over the blogosphere. It's been translated into German. It's everywhere. It mentioned on MSNBC. It's made some pretty big news. So if you're interested in listening to that interview, go to blogtalkradio.com/shapeshifting. You're already there, so you already know how to find it. And look for the July 24th show with Edgar Mitchell. It's only 15 minutes long. He only had a few minutes in his incredibly busy day, but amazing information. Lots of fun there. Also, today, as I mentioned, this is 888, and we're doing this show specifically on this date. You know, normally I do the show on Fridays, because today is the release date for the Interview with the Universe CDs. And I also want to make sure to mention that in 1 week from today, August 15th, Glenna, Elizabeth, and I are all going to be participating in the Get Into It Expo in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's going to be at the Holiday Inn Express, the Cedar Bluff exit. So stop on by if you're in the area. Meet all of us. Also, our good friend Curtis Foltz, also a friend of the show, is going to be there. Lots of other amazing people. So check us out. And you know what? I think I've probably gabbed for about long enough. So let's go ahead and bring on Elizabeth and Glenna. Let's see. Do we have Elizabeth on the line? Are you there?
I am here.
Okay, great. And Glenna's already here, too. Hey, Glenna, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Lisa.
Good, good. Well, what an exciting day.
Yeah, it is.
I would say.
I almost didn't get on the air, Glenna.
Oh, no.
Glenna and I were talking before the show about how, you know, she's already sort of, you know, put in her intention that everything works. And I was like, well, you know, there's storm clouds rolling in here in Florida, which means the power could get blown out. And then Elizabeth doesn't get on the switchboard. Every one of us has already had our glitches. So
she's sending me emails saying, pray, pray. We're all praying. here I am. So we know prayer works.
Absolutely.
It does.
I wanted to ask everybody who's listening to please put the powerful intentions that the show will transmit and everything, because we have such high vibrational frequency beings joining us, and including those who are involved, especially Glenna. She messes up our equipment. So we need help and intentions to make sure everything goes smoothly.
Well, so far, so good. And if anything does happen, not that I intend that it does, but it's all just part of the fun, and we'll
exactly.
just laugh our way through it and see everybody on the other side. Why don't one of you guys, Elizabeth, since you're pretty much the spokesperson, why don't you go ahead and fill people in on what's going on? And Glenna, if you want to jump in, you know, if there's something that Elizabeth has, you know, skipped over, go ahead and start telling us what this whole thing is about.
Well, certainly. Glenna and I have co-created something called An Interview with the Universe. We actually co-created it with the universe, I should add. But it was it began by a seemingly random coincidence. John Hodge, who also has a radio show, Think Again Radio, had brought Glenn and I together when he was putting together his website called Soul 411, where he was going to be promoting, you know, mediums and psychics. And he wanted me to have readings with these individuals as a way of testing their abilities to make sure that, you know, they were who they said they were, and I wholeheartedly agreed to that. And he then told me, or asked me, if I would contact Glenna. And I was just highly intrigued because I had just read a book by the name of Courageous Souls, where Glenna was one of the four mediums featured in this book. And I had interviewed the author of that book, Robert Schwartz, on my own radio show when I was doing radio. And so Glenna and I connected, and she did a wonderful, very detailed spiritual counseling session with me. And at the very end, she went into a trance, and she brought through a group of wise beings. And they told me they were a group of guides from multiple dimensions. And they had a wonderful, profound, and loving message for me. And I was completely caught off guard when they asked me if I would like to ask questions. And I've witnessed the trance channeling before, but I never was allowed to ask questions. So I managed to get out a few questions, but afterwards I just couldn't stop thinking about the fact that if I were given another opportunity, I could ask the questions, the big questions that had always plagued me. And so I called Glenna and I said, can we please do another session? And she was, it's not something she normally did, but she agreed. She felt compelled to say yes. And so then I was preparing my questions. I was just writing and rewriting these questions. And as I was doing this, I heard a very small yet clear voice say, interview with the universe. And I just thought, oh my God, that's it. I can interview the universe because, you know, I had always wanted to get a big guest on my radio show somehow. And, well, of course, what can be bigger than an interview with the universe? So, before we started the channeling, I told Glenna, and she just became very excited about it. And so we went into the channeling, and I spoke to these wonderful group of archangels and ascended masters and beings from multiple dimensions. And I was completely surprised when they said that they highly encouraged me and Glenna to follow up on this idea, and that it was an answered prayer for us both, because we both had been asking to serve the world in a very big way. And so when Glenna came out of the trance, you know, Glenna is, she kind of has that, what Edgar Cayce used to do. She goes into a trance and she's basically unconscious. She doesn't remember what's said, at least on a conscious level. She doesn't remember what was said. And so when I told her this, she just became very excited. And we began brainstorming on how this is going to happen. And everything just kind of fell into place. And maybe Glenna, I don't know if you want to jump in and talk at all, but you asked your son Corey to help. Right?
Yeah. My son Corey is a very talented musician and has been training himself for years in the technology of audio recording. And so I called him and talked with him about it, and he said, sure, I can do that for you. So we set it up with my son Corey and his friend Tim Feeney, and actually did the recording at Tim's little home recording studio in Hugo, Minnesota. The night before we were to begin recording, there was a F3 tornado that hit, right in the same area as Tim's house, and only one pane of glass remained between the storm itself and Tim's recording equipment. And when we discussed what had happened there, we were told that nature was giving us a message that chaos was going to come close to this project, clear energies, but not interfere. So that was kind of the beginning stages of the recording process.
Right.
And how long did this take? This took, what, just a few days, right?
Well, it took us 3 days to do the recording, and just I had decided after we found out that we couldn't do it over the phone that I would fly out there. And I actually got confirmation on that idea because I checked my credit card points, which is something I never do. I just forgot about them. And I had the exact number to fly to Minneapolis, stay in a hotel for 3 nights. And they, of course, told us later that that was all part of the plan. And so I arrived, and we went to this home because Glenna, we felt that she needed to lay down because she can do the channeling sitting up or whatever, but she was going to be doing extended sessions and she doesn't channel normally for as long as we were going to be doing the channeling. And so the guides explained to me that they were going to be supporting her energy and monitoring her and making sure she was okay because it takes huge energy to do what she does, even though she's seemingly subconscious, which she is, and maybe she can explain this better than what I'm explaining it, but it takes, maybe you can explain it a little bit, Glenna, how it works.
Well, I just kind of go into a trance state and allow my consciousness to step aside and allow other consciousness to enter through and speak through me. And in so doing, there is a real download of energy that goes through my body. And so, yeah, there needed to be a space for me to rest and some time in between sessions. And this way it worked out really well that both were available to us.
So when you're coming out of this, do you actually still feel an energy drain? And if so, what do you do to bring yourself back up to, you know, your normal levels?
I do feel an energy drain, and it depends basically on my physical state and also the person who's questioning, the person who's asking the questions, their receptiveness and their openness. So with Elizabeth, it was fairly easy because Elizabeth already had prepared a list of questions, and she was really excited about finding out the answers, and so the energy came through me pretty easily. But yeah, I feel drained afterwards. I'm pretty spacey afterwards and usually have to eat and just kind of rest a little bit after each session.
Right, ground yourself. Now, that's interesting. Right. I'd never heard you say anything about, probably because we haven't discussed this specific thing before, but you say that the person's receptivity actually affects. What does it affect, the information that comes through or how you feel?
I think it affects both. But I know that it affects the way that I feel. I'm much more drained if the person who's asking the questions is reluctant to accept the information or there's some part of them that's resisting hearing, even though they, on the conscious level, they're going, yeah, yeah, I want to know that.
Right.
There's a part of them somewhere that's saying, uh-oh, what if this doesn't jive with what I already know, or I have to do something different, or I have to make some changes, and as we all know, we're all resistant to change on some level.
Right.
So, yes, it makes a big difference in terms of where that person vibrates at in terms of their own frequency and how open they are.
Huh. That's really interesting because I know that I've listened to a couple of the readings that you've done with me that we've recorded, and it's funny how when you're actually live doing this thing, sometimes you really don't even hear the message because you're thinking so much about, okay, well, here's my question, and, you know, the reading is going on. And so I went back and listened to the recordings later and said, oh, my God, I didn't even hear them say that, or I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, you have to listen several times to your recordings to hear everything.
Yeah, I've had people call me and just insist that was never said, and that there must be something wrong with my equipment or something.
Oh, that's so funny. But that happens a lot. I'll listen to it and go, holy cow, I had no idea that they even said that. I should have acknowledged that.
And I think that's a necessary component as well to doing this kind of work, is making sure that people have the availability to listen to the recordings afterwards,
right,
probably several times.
Yeah.
And I've had people contact me like a year later and say, I just re-listened to that tape and I can't believe what you said, and this is so right on, and all these things happened. So it's really important to have that reminder, so to speak, because it's a huge download of information that comes through.
Really,
and
is
energetic. It's not just the information, it's the energetics that are in my voice and that come through to people as in terms of how open they are.
Right. Well, even the actual interview CDs themselves, I've listened to them numerous times, and every time I listen to them, I get something completely different. That, you know how sometimes when you're listening to something, your mind kind of wanders, and then you go, oh, I'm listening to something here, and you go, I gotta listen to that again. But it seems to me that you're pulled back when what you really needed to hear that time is being said. But you guys have also talked about the fact that this information on these CDs is encoded. Would you please go into what exactly that means?
Well, I'm still working on my own understanding of that, and that's deepening as I'm putting more attention and focus on it. And they've told Elizabeth and I in some previous channelings that would come to me as I was able to handle the information. So from my perception right now, what it means is that there's a vibration that is brought in along with the words that is encoded into the sounds and into the words themselves. You know, words are entities. They have a consciousness of themselves. And so there's much that can be brought through, they're telling me, with the choice of words, with how they're pronounced, with my intention behind them. It's very powerful and quite multidimensional. So it's taking me some time to get some understanding,
right,
and awareness to where I can actually explain it to other people.
Yeah.
So that's a process I'm going through right now. And as I understand it more completely, I'm going to be putting some things on the website about it.
Cool.
We'll be describing it in the book. And that's part of the reason Elizabeth and I decided to do a book, is because we could give some background for the idea, and we could also give the guides an availability to explain more than what is actually being talked about in the CD.
Right. Great. And by the way, that website is interviewwiththeuniverse.com. There is a link to that on the show page here. I will also be putting it on the Shapeshifting Online radio page after the show. Anything else that we talk about in the meantime, I will put links on there. I did want to ask Elizabeth, tell us a little bit more about how you actually set this thing up, and you know, some of the questions that you asked.
Well, in some of the channeling, we did a lot of channeling sessions before I left to go on the trip, because we wanted clarification and understanding. And so they told me that I would also be channeling in a way before I left for the trip and during the interview. And so they told me to keep my mind open to suggestions and ideas. And so Glenna agreed that she would not have input on the questions, nor would she know what any of the questions were. We felt that would really be important. And so I have always, you know me for a long time, I'm a big question person. And in my book that I wrote with my twin sister in spirit, which is Twin Souls, A Message of Hope for the New Millennium, in that book, if you read it, you'll see I'm nothing but questions. That's just who I am.
Right.
So I already had many, many questions, and I kept asking people what questions. No one could come up with a single question. I came up with 247 questions. But I sat out in my garden, and I was at the beach a lot because I'm very connected to water. And I a lot of questions came to me. I'd have a lot of dialogues in my head with, you know, I'm very connected to spirit, especially, you know, my twin sister who's in spirit, and my mother and father as well, and my guides. And so I just have, you know, people at the beach probably, if they, you know, I don't talk out loud, but they probably think, what is with this girl? Because I really have these kind of dialogues going on in my head about what about this and what about that. I have unending questions, and so I just wrote them down, and I know I was being guided to a certain degree. And, you know, they said that I had free will, and so a lot of it was my own, my higher self. And so, and it was very interesting because we discussed what types of things they would and would not choose to discuss. And in fact, in the interview itself, which we can maybe talk about later, they did not answer quite a few questions, actually. And so they said the reason for that afterwards when we asked was because some of the vibrations of the questions were too low. They couldn't and wouldn't go there. And they were questions that, you know, we as humanity have, particularly about religion and things like that. And I had asked them if I could ask questions about Jesus. And they said that they would prefer not to do that because the name even of Jesus causes so much distraction and so much. It's just they wanted me to find a way to move forward with forward-thinking language and forward ideas that would move people forward and not get them into, well, who was right and who was wrong and all
right.
of this stuff. So,
well, you do mention the Christ consciousness.
That's
so they
what
were
they
able
said.
To talk about that.
Well, they told me all the ideas. I said, but I would really like to dispel some myths here, you know, and they said, the things that you have thought of, we will address those in other ways, and they did. And they said you can mention Christ consciousness, which I did, but the main message that I feel that needed to be understood is that we are God, you know, we are our own godhood, and they addressed that many, many times.
Right.
And so it was just interesting what they didn't want to talk about. And so during the interview, when we did the interview, you know, I would ask a question, and it's not like interviewing a human being. I mean, they don't say, well, I don't really want to answer that question. There would just be this dead silence. And I'd be going, all righty then, moving on. Of course, all that edited out. But it was just a very, very interesting experience, too, because like Lena noticed, you know, some of their answers would go on for 20 minutes, and then others of their answers would be yes, and they would just stop.
So,
you know, when you're a human being, you know, we equivocate. They don't equivocate. They just say yes or no. And so I found myself, you know, trying to get, okay, next question. It was actually it was challenging, I have to say. I mean, it flowed through me. It was in one sense, it was very flowing. But it did take a lot of concentration just to, you know, not stumble over my words. I mean, they told
right.
me that when I asked them who was present at the interview, they said that for me to visualize a Colosseum and for me to visualize tiers of individuals full, this entire Colosseum was full of different levels of frequency and different levels of form of beings, you know, from different dimensions, and some were extraordinarily high frequency beings and some were lower, and some were participating and some were just observing. And they said that I was to visualize that I was in the center of this Colosseum. It's like, well, gee, no pressure there. But
you said you wanted to interview somebody big.
Well, yeah, I know, I did. I got my wish, boy. Careful what you ask for. That's the motto of that. But no, it was really powerful and really amazing. And y'all, Greta did, but show up and go to sleep. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I love that part.
I tell them, yeah. Glenna said, well, what do I do to prepare for the interview? And what did they tell you, Glenna?
They just said I just needed to show up. And that's what I did.
I was doing all
great
this
job
stuff.
Description right there. My job description is I show up.
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that great?
Who wouldn't want a job like that?
Yeah, I know. It's great. Although she had to, they told her she needed to eat like a pig. And she just, man, she was sucking down the food. Remember, Glenn?
They told me to eat a lot. You're the one that added the pig.
Big whipped cream thing and everything. Oh, it was great. Yeah, she used to eat whatever she wanted. But anyway, it was quite amazing. And they also told us that there was a high possibility of equipment failure and or sound irregularities because it was very important for everyone to know, they said, that it wasn't just information coming. They actually were there in physical presence with us.
Yeah, that blew me away. When you told me that, yeah. I got goosebumps and went, they're in the room?
Yeah, that's what they said. You know, that's what they said. And so Glenna can tell us about how what we went through to get that space ready.
We did all kinds of, we did chanting and we did some drumming and we did meditations and then we walked around. Everybody touched all the equipment, each individual piece, and blessed it to bring it up to our vibration. And, we went through all kinds of things. Elizabeth made this huge circle of stones that we all tripped over then when we were walking through the rooms. It was quite an experience. And then the guys, Tim and Corey, were really good about accommodating us. Sometimes there was a little bit of look of shock on their faces. And my son Corey had never seen me channel before. He knew I was doing this stuff, but he had never witnessed it.
Wow.
So he was a little taken aback by that, too. But it was quite a powerful, powerful experience. In fact, the first night after we had taken Elizabeth back to her hotel, we came back to Tim's place, and I literally collapsed into bed. And the guys watched TV, and Corey said he came in and checked a couple different times to see if they were, you know, interrupting my sleep. And he said I was just out. So there was a really high level of energy moving through that, both the place and through me and through Elizabeth as well.
Wow, that's some pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So what did Corey say about this? What, if he's never seen you do this before, he must have just been sort of freaked out.
Well, we talked about it a lot beforehand. I was trying to prepare him. You know, and told him that, you know, I literally leave my body, so I don't know what I look like. And I didn't want him to feel afraid for me or upset about it. So we talked about it a lot beforehand. And then the day of, after we finished the first channeling, he and I had a discussion as well. And he said, oh, I'm okay with it. It's okay. So and he's 36. It's not like he's a small child or anything.
Yeah.
So, but... yeah, I think he was pretty amazed by the way that it came about, and he had never asked me to do a reading or any kind of informational thing for him before. After we did that channeling work together, he asked if I would do an astrology reading for him. So I felt like there had been a little bit of a limitation broken down there for him as well.
That's wonderful. I know you also told me after the CDs were first pressed and you were sending out copies to some friends just to get some feedback, you said that pretty much every single one of them responded with, wow, this is powerful stuff, that they're feeling, that they're actually feeling what they're listening to.
Yes, yes. And so many people, yourself included, talked about how they had gotten into a habit of listening to it as a meditation or while they were falling asleep at night.
Right, exactly.
Which surprised me. And yet when I thought about that, I thought, how perfect is that? Because if these things are encoded,
right,
it would make perfect sense to take it in on many levels, one of them being your sleep state or a semi-conscious state. So that kind of amazed me. This whole project has amazed me, but that particular piece amazed me even more.
Yeah,
well, a lot of people have told me that they felt healing, they felt shifting, they felt, I mean, I had one friend, I mean, she just couldn't get over it. I couldn't get her to stop, I just can't believe this. This is unbelievable, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you're right. It is unbelievable.
It is. Because you know what? We've all been involved in this kind of work for a long period of time. And, you know, we've heard other things. We've read plenty of things. And, you know, everything has its own value. So I really didn't expect this to be really all that much different. I thought, well, this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be valuable. I'm going to enjoy this. So I did expect that much. But I honestly didn't expect the extra dimension of, I'm not even sure how to word this, but you know what I'm saying, the dimensionality of this, it really does affect you.
Well, you know, I had been told for a long period of time that my voice was being encoded while I was doing this trance work for people. And on some level, I thought I knew what that meant. But during the taping, when we were all finished with the taping, the last day we went over everything, we listened to a lot of the channeling part, and then Elizabeth and I had done an introduction that we wrote together, and we did it in our normal, I did it in my normal voice, and we recorded that as well, which we eventually decided not to use. But I listened to the channeling part of me being in trance, and then I listened to myself being taped with just my normal voice.
Right.
And I could feel the difference.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they talked to me about, that they were going to be transmitting information about the encoding to me, and I'm seeing that I'm getting it more on an experiential level than on an intellectual level.
Exactly.
Which then gives it a real difficulty to translate it to other people.
Yeah.
But I was amazed. I was totally amazed by the difference between my voice as I'm trans-channeling in a really powerfully professional recording.
Yeah.
I'd heard my voice on tape before, but, you know, one of those little dinky, you know, $10 tape machines, that's what I use.
Right.
So not quite the quality.
Yeah,
so
yeah, well, Santa, I would have to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I you know, haven't known Glenna that long, although we have known each other probably for centuries, but the point is I don't know her that long in this life. But I can say that I notice a very distinct difference. I mean, people say to me, well, it sounds just like her, but it really it doesn't, because first of all, it's very androgynous sounding, the voice. It's very light. Not that Glenna's not light, but, I mean, it's very light, and it's also very... the word choices are different. Like if I said to Glenna, you know, Glenna, would you do a channeling for me? She wouldn't say, well, most certainly. And
right.
I mean, they'd use those words that are very
right. And
proper.
Plus, she loses her Minnesota accent.
I was just going to say that. Every so often you hear it in the tape. You know, you hear it every so often in the CD. But most of the time, you don't hear it.
Right.
You know,
we're
going to
be actually doing a channeling in a little while or so. So those of you who are listening, hang on, because we are going to be doing this after we have a little more conversation about this fascinating thing. Elizabeth, did you have anything else you wanted to say about that, or do you want to start talking about some of the questions that you asked and what the answers were that you got?
I can do that. I can talk about the questions.
Well,
what I decided to do was to cover as many subjects as I could humanly think of. And so the categories were the individual soul, relationships, children and parenting, education, science and medicine, what else, politics and the environment, what else, Glenna, spirituality and religion, and world affairs and the great unknown. Now, it's interesting when people listen to the part on the spirituality and religion and the great unknown and that part, there were a lot of questions there that didn't get answered. So I think people might think, well, this isn't about religion, but they really, really wouldn't go too deep into that, those questions, like as I said before, because the vibration was too low on the question. So it was just interesting what they would and wouldn't answer. There was many, many questions in that section that they wouldn't answer, the religion and spirituality and the world affairs. They really wouldn't go too much into that. A lot of it, I think, has to do, too, with the fact that we have free will, and they want us to make our own choices. And so they're not going to get too nitty-gritty into, like, arguments about, is this true or is that true type of thing. But I would say some of the more important things that I felt were brought out, for example, would be we're moving into a new age, as we all know. And in the past age, our lessons were about sacrifice and suffering and all these things. And this is no longer the case. We are moving into a time frame of equality and community and, excuse me, and so the most important things revolving around that would be, number one on the list is self-love, because we can't be an equal partner in anything unless we love ourselves unconditionally. And as we know, Louise Hay has been talking about that for years, but it's extraordinarily important now. They also talked about the fact that we are understanding now, we're being given a broader awareness now. We don't have one set path. And we don't have, like, well, people say, well, how am I going to find my path or how am I going to find my purpose? That's really a slight misunderstanding, because we do have pre-planning. We do plan challenges. We do plan purposes. We do plan people coming and going in our lives. But there's just an infinite number of possibilities. And so the important thing is to make the choices. It doesn't matter what choice. It means that you make choices. The universe will back you up, whatever choice you make, and there's zero judgment. And I asked them, well, if you make choices and you're very unhappy, does that mean you made the wrong choice? And they said, no. There's really no, you know, you need to follow this path. It's a greater awareness is where we're at now. So we need to kind of remove that limitation that we think that we're on some kind of special path and only that path is the right path. And then they also said that our interpretations of karma also are a little bit off because in reality, all these different lifetimes and these different incarnations are actually happening simultaneously. Because we're in a 3D world, we believe there's past, present, and future, but that doesn't really exist.
Right.
And so, yeah, so they're just saying that, you know, don't get your mind to believe that you are stuck with your karma because that is only a belief. It's an illusion. And so I don't know how much more you want me to go deeper, but there's a lot of important things being said.
Yeah, there were a lot of amazing questions. And like you said, some of the answers were just yes. Or no, or certainly. Well, we've got a question in the chat room here. Somebody's, and this was asked on the CDs as well, but somebody wants to know more about who exactly are you channeling? And I know that's kind of a frustrating question because you never really get a really satisfying answer, do you?
They didn't want, they specifically said that they wanted to remain mysterious because they didn't want people. You know, how we humans are, you know, we start making connections. Well, that person isn't that person. I mean, that being
right.
is, you know, this or that. And, I mean, in the very beginning when we did the trans channel, the very first time, they did say that there was, you know, Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel and Metatron and Ascended Masters, the Brotherhood of Light. They said, you know, the information and the entities involved were at a cosmic level beyond what our human brain could even understand. And so they don't want people to get into this pigeonholing mode.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter who they are. They're a group of non-physical entities, and when we do the channeling, I'm going to ask who's present, and you'll hear what they say. But there's so many entities, according to them, and there's some very, very high, high vibrational beings that probably none of us would even be able to pronounce their name. You know,
right.
it's something our human minds don't have anything to compare it to.
Right.
And so they specifically did not want us to go into some big long explanation as to who they were. Go ahead.
What would be kind of helpful, though, and I don't know if I'm just, you know, spitting in the wind here, but like, for example, Abraham is a group of beings but gives you the name Abraham. Kryon, same thing. Steve Rother has the group. If there was just something that you could actually call them and say, this is who we're talking about, does that...
I do. I call them the guides. I just call them the guides because they're guides. That's what they are. They're guiding us. I don't know if Glenna has another word.
What do you call them, Glenna?
I just say they. Or hey, you. I think it's their way of not allowing us to become distracted in our most human way of finding who's the most powerful, who's the highest in the hierarchy,
right.
Who should
right.
we listen to. It's about redirecting that and recognizing that when guidance comes to you through your heart, and you feel that correctly, that it's not necessary to know. It's a waste of time, and it's a distraction for you to try to figure out, well, where did that come from? Is that legitimate? I think they're trying to help us to avoid that trap, because it is a trap. It's a distraction.
Well,
the energies are...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That actually just sort of brings up another completely unrelated question. I know a young woman who's been, she was sort of raised in a New Age type of atmosphere, but decided to go to a Christian church because, you know, she wanted community for the kids and all that kind of stuff. And it still basically fit in with her basic beliefs, you know, the good parts of Christianity, but then discovered that they use so much Satan to scare people. And I'm sure that the people in that church, that one specifically, not all churches, but that one church specifically, would say that, well, that's Satan talking to you. That's Satan trying to lure you in with all these good feeling stuff. And I, you know, I've listened to this kind of stuff, and I can unequivocally say that's, you know, that's wrong. But how would you respond to somebody who
we don't care? We don't care.
Yeah,
that's what I
okay.
say.
It's a matter, again, of watching your body respond and coming from your heart and expecting that you're knowing that your truth is in your heart. So if something's coming to you that's frightening or causing a reaction in your body of some kind that's uncomfortable, doesn't feel right to you, then you avoid that. You rely on your own self, on your own truth, to help you to use your own discretion, rather
right.
than
and
to rely on somebody on the outside of you for that.
Right.
And,
okay.
and Glenna, when she does her channeling, she specifically guides and requests, you know, the highest vibrations of the light and love. And because we are very powerful beings, we can intend and we can ask. And as we all know, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. And so we are receiving what we ask for. And so Glenna and I specifically asked for, you know, to be guided by love and light. And so we know that we were. And when I say we don't care, I just simply mean that it's not our job to persuade people at all. We
right.
have no interest in that. And we will not justify ourselves in any way. We have been led to do this. And those who are ready will be ready.
And that by setting your specific intent, I think that's the most important part of this whole thing, is that when you set your intent that I am only allowing information that is for the highest good of all, you know, blah, 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 however you want to word it, that when you actually set that intent, then that's
right.
exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm.
There is a question like that in the interview. I said, how do you know when you communicate with other entities that they are of love and light? And their answer was very simple and very profound. They said, you command it so. That's it.
Well, there you go.
There's no reason to be. This is what they're wanting to free the world from, these fears, these struggles. We are so much more powerful than we know, and it's a matter of intention.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you intend it, so it is. And they said in the interview, as you believe, so it is.
Right.
And we've been taught that it's all over the Bible. You know, it's not like it's
yeah.
anything new.
Right.
It's just interpretation. So, you know,
well, we're
God
getting
bless
a ton of
it.
Questions in the chat room here. I don't mean to interrupt here.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that people's questions get answered here before we get into the channeling. One of them is sort of a personal issue question. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but we'll give it a try. It says, what if you find yourself really strung out and treating people not so nice with little patience? How do I identify what is the real issue? Is that something that can be answered, or should we ask that during the channeling, or is that not really?
I would say unless Glenna wants to answer that, I would say we can't do personal. This is more about universal at this moment anyway.
Right. Okay.
Glenna,
I just wanted to check and see.
Glenna, did you want to answer that?
Maybe at another time I could do that. I could answer that question for that person, or they could contact me through Soul 411.
That's right.
And I could answer that question.
Okay. Another question. Let's see how this one goes. Did we come here to fulfill specific pre-planned soul purposes, or are we making it up as we go along?
Well, I can answer that. As I said, we do make plans. You know, but it's very hard for our human brain. See, the problem is we're using our mind to try to understand this, and this is not a mind thing, which is what they said. But on a human level, yes, there are plans made, but as we have an infinite number of possibilities when we come in as to which plan we choose, it's a myriad of different choices, and this is what they are wanting people to start to understand. Even if you don't understand it in your mind, maybe you'll understand it in your heart. You do have a set of things that you wanted to work through and challenges, but at the same time, the possibilities are unlimited. So the question, the answer, I guess, would be both. You're doing
right.
both.
Okay, that makes sense. We've also got another question asking about the whole end of days brouhaha. And there is actually something about this, the whole 2012 thing on disc 3. I don't know if you want to talk about that now, or do you want to talk about that during the channeling time?
Well, we could do both, but basically they said that the 2012 is this whole thing with the Mayan calendar. It's basically an acknowledgement of these ancient beings who were at a different level of understanding than we were, and so that they had a greater understanding, and it was simply about by the year 2012 in our time, there will be the culmination of this evolutionary leap that's taking place right now.
Right.
And we will go, according to them, from the three dimension through the fourth dimension and into the fifth dimension by that time. And it's already happening. And so it's simply the culmination of those energies. If it were to be the end time for anyone, it would be that individual's choice, whether that was their exit point. It has nothing to do with the end times in any way, other than whether an individual chooses to make their exit at that time.
Right. I always look at it as it may be the end of the world, but only as we know it, you know, like the old REM song. Yeah, the way that we've been living is ending, but the planet Earth itself isn't going to disintegrate. Human race isn't going to disappear. It's just the end of the way we've been doing things, which we all know doesn't work anymore.
We're already in that. We're already going through those changes very, very rapidly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, good. So, yeah, that's pretty much the questions in the chat room. I do also want to talk about the fifth dimension thing. Would now be the time, or do you want to wait until the channeling?
Sure. Maybe Glenna can answer that better. I mean, other than what they said, that we were going from the fourth, you know, from the third to the fourth to the fifth, I don't know that much about it.
We keep hearing this. You know, if you're up on the latest New Age type thing, there's a lot of talk about going into the fifth dimension, but nobody's really saying exactly what that means. We're all just sort of having this intuitive, I kind of get what that means, and we get these flashes once in a while or having something happen to us where we go, oh, that must be what this means. But I would love to hear what Glenna or the guides have to say.
Well, the way it's been explained to me and the way I understand it, and again, this is a multidimensional concept, so it does come to you in flashes. It's not something that you can grasp all at the same time. And I think, too, that the experiential experiences or opportunities that we have are what really teach us about this. But from my understanding, the fifth dimension is less about polarity. It's more about finding a middle ground or a middle road in between the opposites. So, and I think that's what all the talk about letting go of judgment is all about, because that really, and we live in such a judgmental world, and we all operate from judgment, thinking that that's the way we need to do it. And so as we move away from having judgment, we move away from this good, bad, right, wrong, white, black kind of thing, and we find a middle road. It's not that polarity won't exist in fifth dimension, but instead of having sorrow over here on this side of you and you go fully and completely into that, and happiness on the other side and you go fully and completely into that, you hold both in your body, in your heart at the same time, and you feel that different dimension that you access by holding both. And that's very abstract, I know. But by doing that is how you pull yourself into the fifth dimension. And by doing that, you do not hold any judgment.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, when I asked them in many, many different ways, what is the biggest mistake that human beings make, they unequivocally every single time said judgment.
Right.
Because judgment is a polarity. And one of the things they said, we were talking about the source. What is the source? And there was very limited discussion on that, but they did say that in order to know the source, because we don't want to try to understand it with our mind, we want to know it with our heart, but they said in order to know the source, we would actually, so there's a lot of human beings on the planet right now asking for light, and that's fine, but we need to also, in order to truly know the source, they said, we need to embrace the light, and we also need to embrace that in ourselves, which we do not like, and of course the things we don't like in ourselves we also don't like in other people, and to have that middle ground, that is truly a way to know the source, which to me was very surprising because I always thought, you know, the light, more light, the better. But we have to know that God is all things, the source is all things, and so we don't want those polarities anymore. We want
right.
the middle, the golden middle path, as the Buddha always said. So.
Mm-hmm. And the Christian belief as well mimics that, in that you find that middle path, you find that place wherein you love everything unconditionally, and you accept everything unconditionally. I think that's one of the things that we get hung up on the most when we're talking about this kind of stuff, because everything is allowed here. This is a free will universe, and so all things are allowed. And for us to battle against the things that we don't like or we don't want is just a waste of energy, because it's all allowed. And in order to move into a fifth dimensional aspect of things, we would then allow everything, both on the outside of ourself and on the inside of ourself.
Right.
The reason that we see dark in other people is because we are holding that separate from ourselves, that which is darkness within ourselves. We've been told that's bad. We've been told that's wrong. We've been told to be afraid of it. And so we don't acknowledge that in ourselves, and so it gets played out in the world. That's where we get wars and violent actions from individuals and groups, is that aspect needs to be witnessed. It needs to be honored because it is part of the whole.
Right.
And the only way we're going to get to be the holistic beings that we're striving to be and be able to exist in fifth dimensional energy is to accept everything, all of it.
Right. And I know the knee-jerk reaction that people generally come back with, well, if everything's okay, then I guess people can just go killing children and blowing up buildings, and they try to make that sound like we're saying that's okay. But what actually, this is even addressed on the CDs too, is that once we begin moving into this more expanded space, those things will just cease to happen.
Exactly.
They'll fall away. And they also said, Lisa, if I might add, that it is... there are many on the planet who have a lot of fear and are resisting the change and
right.
are very rigid. And they explained to me, this, I don't know if this was in the CD, but it was in one of the channelings, that
I think it was, because I'm recognizing what you're saying.
Well, there's some of it, but they said it's inappropriate to judge or to be rude or anything like that to these people who are playing these roles, because they are playing them intentionally. Because we're in the 3D realm, the rest of us cannot raise up our consciousness without that level of it's a polarity thing, and it's just part of the whole thing. So there's a lot of people, you know, I've done it myself included, you know, that person over there, and George Bush and all these people, you know, poor guy, the guy's got the grayest hair. Let's just get off of blaming people. I mean, I feel sorry for him, because I see that he's a person doing what he came to do. Whether we think it's right or wrong, that's just my thing, you know. I think that's causing a lot of problems, because there's so much blame and there's so much shame, and that is the exact energy that causes war.
Right. And
so
the whole
Right. I mean, it's like, okay, we don't like what some of the things he's done, and so we're going to change it. But let's leave him out of let's leave the individual person, or even what has happened. We need to just drop the judgment, and we need to drop the lowest vibration on the planet, practically, is
right.
blame and shame. And I think people feel justified in making those judgments, because it's, you know, what he did was bad. Well, that's a judgment. So...
Right.
It's about allowing these people who are very rigid or whatever it is, they're playing a role. And so we just need to send them love and light and just move up ourselves. And that was one of the most important messages. Our only job that we have is to raise our consciousness. It's
right.
not our job to save the planet. It's not our job to make judgments about other people, what choices they have made, whether they chose to be starving, whether they chose to be homeless. It's not our job to make judgments about other people, whether they chose to be a right-wing radical, whoever they are. We just leave everybody alone and just worry about ourselves. Because as
right.
we raise our consciousness up, all these other people will really go with it.
Right,
it gives them
right.
permission. It gives them permission inside themselves to start raising their consciousness. That was probably one of the most important messages, especially when we were talking about the environment. Because I said to them, I feel like we've just jumped from one source of judgment to another. And they said that that was absolutely correct. We have.
Right.
There's so much shame. Look at us terrible human beings and what we have done. Well, you know, we live in the 3D world. What did we know? I think we knew it. But the point is, the green movement is a element of higher consciousness. And so we need to be with love and joy and lose the blame and shame game that we do about it.
And honor all beings. That's another really positive point of awareness that many, many people are coming to, is honoring all beings and not, you know, well, that plant over there doesn't matter, that animal over there doesn't matter, or even that person over there doesn't matter as much as me.
Right.
But to honor everything and everyone as being a part of all it is.
Yeah. I think one of the things I enjoyed the most, since we're on the topic of judgment, is that they're saying, or they're recommending, that you replace judgment with assessment, because judgment carries an emotional good or bad, as opposed to assessment, where you're able to, as they say, step back, remove yourself from the emotion of the issue, and just observe, okay, this is what's happening. I don't feel one way or the other about it. I just observe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you become the witness.
Witness,
yeah.
And we don't. Yeah. And it's very hard to do, by the way. I mean, trust me. I have to remind myself constantly. Okay, that's a judgment. That's a judgment. Stop that. But I'm not as mean and hard on myself, because honestly, like, I'm like everybody else. I didn't even realize until they told me how incredibly hard I was on myself.
Huh.
You know, like when you notice something that you don't like, or that you realize, oh, that's kind of low vibration, I would be like beating myself up. What's the matter with you? You know, like, I was doing it internally, you know, and so as soon as I dropped that, I can't tell you the changes that have taken place, including, you know, this whole interview thing came to me because I was able to let go of some of that. And everybody, I think a lot of people are that way. We're taught in our culture to be very, you know, hard on ourselves and, you know, well, I'm just, you know, always down. You know, when someone gives you a compliment and you say, oh, no, no, I'm not, you know, I don't look good. You know, that kind of stuff. We just were very hard on ourselves, and it was very powerful for me to learn how to let that go. So.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a big life-changing thing.
Yes, and it's, you know, it's a work in progress for all of us. But Glenn and I have had many, many lessons since this interview started, and every time it happens, like at first, you know, something that would be upsetting or whatever, and then I would go, I get it. I get what's going on here. This is just an example of what we learned in the interview, and then I would process through things in one day that would normally have taken me months, you know, just because I go, I get it. I get what this
right.
is about, and I'm gonna get it, and I'm going to release it. And, I mean, Glenn and I have had these over and over, these things, and they even told us that they were astounded. They said, well, you have been able to go to the densest part of yourself and raise your vibrations, and we didn't think you could do that. So, I mean,
wow.
Not just us, but a lot of people like us who are working
right.
on doing what they call inner work.
Yeah.
That's another thing that they had mentioned. And it's not on the CD. They said something about, and this is a kind of a mystery to me, that people like us who are on the spiritual path, that we have reached the vibration of purple as a group. And that we're one step away from our goal, which is a crystalline light, crystalline light. And I don't know what that means.
Well, we are 888 today, and that was the whole, we're supposed to be doing this crystalline gateway thing. Is that
right.
connected?
Well, it's more about raising of the, I mean, yeah, I'm sure this is a gateway, and we're going to ask the guides about it today. But I said, well, how do we get to this crystalline light? And they said we weren't at the level for them to even explain what it is yet, so I don't think we even comprehend really what it is. But they said inner work and let go of what's going on around us, whether it be in our communities, our governments, completely let go of drama and do that inner work, the processing, the letting go. And they said when you release something, replace it with a new thing, a new belief about yourself, that's how we're going to get there. So I'm sure the 888 is a vortex, or we'll find out more about that.
Right.
But that was really interesting, I thought, that we are making a lot of progress even if we don't know it.
Right, right. It's good to know.
It is. It sure is.
Well, we were going to start the channeling at the top of the hour, and we're about there. Glenna, are you comfortable? Are you ready to do this, or you know, you're the one who has to actually put yourself into the position. So you let me know
yep.
when you're ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Glenna,
I'm going to be
leading the whole everybody that's listening in that beautiful meditation that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want
I'll do that.
Want to? Okay.
Okay. This is my normal thing that I do when I work with people, and actually it's something that I do with myself a lot as well. If I find myself being scattered, if I find myself, you know, not able to focus, if I find myself feeling depressed or read a news story and just go, oh, man, now what, kind of a thing. So for anybody that's interested, this is something that's very calming and something that was taught to me through guidance. So find yourself a comfortable position and begin to take some long, deep, healing breaths. And with each out-breath, now begin to release any tension, anxieties, cares of the day, any worries. Allow yourself to begin to relax and feel this relaxation moving up from your feet, up through your legs, your torso, your arms, shoulders, neck, head, and face. And now you are relaxed and relaxing more deeply with each out-breath. Now begin to notice that there's a beautiful golden light coming into your space, into your auric field. And this light is very calming, very comforting. It feels very safe and warm. Feel your body being surrounded by this golden light. And now with your next in-breath, invite this golden light to come within. Breathe it into your lungs. See it flowing from your lungs into your bloodstream, into your vital organs, into your bones and joints and muscles and skin, out to the ends of your fingertips and the bottoms of your feet, out to the very ends of each hair on your head. And through your relaxed state now, you feel yourself being surrounded from within and without of the golden light of God, of Source, of all that is. And now focus on your heart center, on the essence of you that is unconditional love and acceptance. And as you focus on this center, open your heart and allow this essence of you to flow to whoever is on the left of you, who then opens their heart, connecting their energy to the person on the left of them, and so on and so on. In so doing, we create a beautiful circle of love and light. And into this circle, we invite any ascended masters, angels, archangels, and guides who, for the best and highest good of all, would like to join within this circle, connecting their heart energy with ours. And into this circle now, we cast our intentions, creating a rainbow pillar of light. And as we witness, it rises and it fills the atmosphere of the planet herself, moving around the world, covering each country and ocean. And so all that happens here with us benefits every being on this planet. And so it is. And so it is with great joy on this day and your time and your space that we are answering your call of welcoming and your invitation to us to join with you at this time. And we are grateful and appreciative that we have this time, this timing, to actually visit with you through this human voice. And we say that we are filled with joy and that we are as well aware as you are of the great energy shifts and changes that are coming upon your planet at this time, one of which is happening to you at this very time, as you have, with your awareness, opened yourself to this gateway, this light that now enters you, that enters your realm, but specifically enters each body, and each body in its willingness to accept this light will shift, will become of a greater and higher frequency. We would say that as this shift occurs, more consciousness and awareness becomes a part of your life style, your life force. And we would say that this awareness and this light then begins to shine forth from within you, enlightening your life style and your life force. And we would say that healing now is much greater a possibility. We would say that healing of all aspects of your life, whether it be your thinking process, whether it be your physical health, whether it be your financial abundance, whether it be bringing your dreams into reality, we would say that this is truly a greater possibility to you from this day forward. And so our excitement and our joy for you and for us, since all that you do in your denser realms radiates outward into the higher realms, affecting all that is. And we would say now that we would open for your questions.
Thank you and welcome. We're very grateful and honored with your presence. Would you begin by letting us know who's present today at this interview?
We would say once again that there are those of many vibrational levels that are present here on this day. Those who are speaking through this channel for you and to you are of a lower density rate. And we would say that then the density decreases exponentially as the tiers that you have earlier described are coming into focus for you. And we would say that truly there are many who are called upon on this day to be witness to these great events that are happening on your plane.
Thank you very much. And would you explain to the listening audience again why you would prefer to not explain specifically who the entities are?
We would say that in order to promote clarity for you, that we do not give you this opportunity to bring these names or energy levels into a place where they can be compared, into a place where there would then occur that level of confusion, that level of controversy, that level of conflict, in that we have explained earlier and through our interactions with you personally that this is nothing more than a distraction, and that we would believe at this time that your energies would come of better use as you then focus your energies on your own self, your own so-called issues, your own so-called problems and your own solutions to those problems. We would say that allowing that information and energy to come from within and allowing yourself to notice that it comes from within and not from an outside source brings you great empowerment. Is this clear?
It is clear. Thank you very much. Would you just give us a description of the significance of this date, 8808, or is there a significance?
We would say that it is of great significance and that this significance has been enhanced, such as it is, by the awareness and the focus and attention of many individuals on your planet who have received messages, whether they be channeled messages through other beings or whether they be messages from within themselves, that this truly is a gateway, a release of limitation. And by limitation, we say that truly your only limitation is the way that you have thought and the way that you have believed about your own limitations. And we would say that these beliefs have been taught to you, have been brought to you as a certain level of programming by those who would wish to control your energies, who would wish to allow you only that which provides a sense of security to them, which provides a sense of power over you for them. And we would say at this time, as you truly step into your own empowerment and begin to act on your own behalf, which of course stems from your sense of loving yourself, your belief and your level of trust in yourself, that we would say that this is the time when limitations are truly falling away due to this shift and energy gateway that has been provided for you at this time.
Thank you. That's very beautiful. Some people in our chat room here are saying that today is the start of our Olympics, where the world comes together to play together. Do you make a comment on that? Okay, moving on. Could you explain to the listening audience a little bit about what is the cause of war? Many people want to know about this.
We would say that truly the cause of your war is an energetic conflict that is created by the source from outside of your galaxy, cosmic source, which is that of competition, which is that of conflict, which is that of wanting control, which is that of power over another. And we would say that the interpretation on other levels and other frequencies does not culminate in war. And yet, as these energies bombard your planet, the density here then incites a sense of deeper and more physical conflicts, and so your human reaction then is to act upon those conflicts that are within yourself in a physical way. And we would say that there are deeper and more unseen reasons why each of you have those warlike tendencies within yourself. And we would say that much of that is coming from the insistence that you are only one aspect of who you really are. And we would say that, as we have explained earlier, that you would be well unto, and at this time, during this time, this date, where limitations are being lifted, you would be well to honor all of your aspects, all of the parts of yourself, whether you are judging them to be good or bad, right or wrong, that you would acknowledge, become aware, and confront all of those aspects within yourself. And through this process, would bring yourself out of limitation and expand your awareness, and we would say that as well you would become more whole and more fully who you are.
Thank you. That's very profound. A lot of people are very curious about this, the idea of the year 2012 and moving out of the three dimension. Could you give us a little bit of information about that?
We would say, as you have stated earlier, that this date has been chosen as a timing, an indication, a place where those of you who are still believing in the three-dimensional reality, that this would then shift that reality and release polarities from your belief systems, which have limited you and which have caused you to become more robotic and less organic. We would say that as this date approaches, you are closer and closer to that releasing of those limitations, and that this has been a process for you, and that many of you are at the release point already before this date comes, and yet because of your belief system, you are holding or waiting until that date arrives for you to fully recognize your potential in this area. We would say that this date has been chosen simply because human beings need to have a time to focus on. And so then at that time, so many will be focused at the same level at the same time that we would say the energies will just automatically release. There will be those who will then, from the fallout of these energies being released, automatically being brought into the rising of consciousness, even though they have not been aware, or even though they have not studied, or even though they have not done inner work. They will then rely on the fact that those who have done these things and who have been focused and aware and brought these energies to culmination, they will release at the same time.
And what will happen, or when will it happen, that we go from the third dimension to the fourth and into the fifth? Or is it happening now?
It is now happening.
And what types of things go along with those shifts?
We would say that there are many changes that are occurring in the foundations of your belief systems. And we would say that you are interpreting these things as humans, as chaos. And you are saying things to one another such as, things are falling apart, we have nothing to rely on. And you are then identifying these shifts and changes for yourselves and one another as being crisis, or as being something that, again, using your judgment, that is bad or is wrong or is ineffective or something that you need to struggle against. And we would say instead that if you allow yourself to flow with chaos and begin to understand and see for yourselves through your own experiences that through this chaos arises a new level of being, a new level of beauty.
I see. That makes perfect sense. Would you like to express something about the release of this project, the interview with the universe?
We would say that it has been great joy for us to offer our assistance. We would say that there have been many who have been affected by the listening of the project, of the tapings. We would say that there will be many who will be affected. We will say that there will be much excitement among those who are open and willing to receive this information, both on the conscious level and through within the bodies. We would say that many will ponder the information about encoding and begin to recognize and understand how many opportunities they have to allow encoding to be brought into their awareness through experiences of listening, through experiences of sight, through experiences of all your innate senses, and also through awarenesses that opening to other levels, other dimensional levels that you are currently either not aware of or reticent to allow yourself a deep awareness of. We would say that all of these things then would bring about a natural and very gentle and flowing shift in consciousness. And we would say, as the channel has previously experienced and expressed, that those who are using these recordings in both their conscious mind and with their subconscious or semi-conscious minds, we would say that those people would experience the greatest level of downloaded information, and that as well their bodies are ready now to recognize and integrate all of the energies that are being encoded. We have planned this release on this specific date of 888 simply because now and only now are those around you ready and capable to receive all that has been encoded within these recordings. And so we would say that from this date forward, those who are listening to these recordings or are exposed to them from friends or from family members or from hearing this broadcast or other ways, that only hearing the name of the CDs will actually bring about a shift within themselves.
Thank you. And yes, we are following up with the book as well. So that should, you had said that when people listen to the CD and then read the book, that would even, that they would experience the catalytic energy and transformation that Glenn and I went through.
Yes, we would concur.
Wonderful. I have just one last question, and then I believe we only have time to wrap up. So there are many who are interested in the idea of extraterrestrials coming to Earth, and as you know, this has been a big story recently. And so you have told us that we will be having more and more sightings of different entities and different beings. Would you cover that for a moment?
We would say that truly you have been having sightings for many centuries, and yet there are those who are very focused on keeping these sightings into a bracket of being unbelievable. And we would say that truly the sightings that are happening within the innate senses that you possess as a human are now coming more into focus, but that many individuals already have had sightings on many levels, have had many what you would call third dimensional, we would rephrase that, what you would call close encounters. We would say that many, many individuals on your planet, and perhaps a very large percentage of people on your planet, have that awareness within them, but hold back for fear of becoming ridiculed or looking like they are mentally unsound. And we would say that this is the change that you would be noticing now more than at any other time in your most frequent past. And we would say that truly we are in joy about this process.
Thank you so very much. We are, once again, I say we're honored with your presence and your guidance. And we are just very pleased to be part of this time and this energy. Thank you very much.
As we are pleased as well. and it is with great love and joy that we bid you goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wow. So while Glenna gets herself back together, I'd like to, there were a lot of questions in the chat room that
yes.
we only had a short period of time because Glenna can only do this for so long. Glenna is available for readings, for questions. You go to the Soul411 website. She's completely available, accessible. She gives wonderful readings. Once again, the website for these CDs is interviewwiththeuniverse.com. Again, I'll have the link on the shapeshiftingonline.com radio page to that and everything else we've talked about today. We've just got a couple minutes left. Elizabeth, do you have anything else that you want to wrap up with while Glenna's still coming back?
Sure. I wanted everyone to know there were a lot of questions in the chat room, including the one about the Olympics starting today, and I myself was actually surprised that they would not answer that. But many of the questions that were coming in, I asked, and I did not get an answer. So like I told the people in the chat room, I don't argue with spirit. So it's just a matter of the vibration level of the question, for whatever reason, is just too low. They can't or won't go to that level, and they don't want to be involved in any controversy in the sense of right and wrong and all that kind of stuff. So it's actually, to me, quite profound what they would not answer. And I'm in our book that we're creating now, we're going to put the questions that weren't answered so that people know what those were. But as you can see, the message is very profound and very intense in some ways and very beautiful, I find. So
yeah.
I'm definitely
going to have to go back and listen to this in the archives because that was a lot of information that came through.
Yeah, I need to listen to it myself because, honestly, when I do radio shows like this, I channel because I don't even know what I said.
Right. You can't even listen to it because you're so into it. So.
Yeah, I really do get a lot of information. I mean, I don't know what even comes out of my mouth. So if I said anything, you know, it was strange. No, I'm kidding. But I do feel like that I'm channeling while I'm doing these interviews. So, Glenna, are you back with us?
I'm back.
How do you
feel? Welcome back.
Thank you. Well, did you guys have a good time?
We did.
I always feel like I'm missing the party.
I know. You have to listen to the archives. But, you know, without you, Glenna, we wouldn't have any interview without you because you're that open channel that, you know, where the information comes. So, yeah.
Well, we've got
I'm happy. I'm grateful to be that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just show up. Go to sleep.
That's right. Now go eat like a pig.
Oh, thanks, Lisa.
Wiped out for the rest of the day. I know that.
Well, we've only got about 2 minutes left, so I once again want to thank both of you for being on the show today. I thought, 888, wonderful day for this. Today the CDs are officially released. They are available, interviewwiththeuniverse.com. Once again, Glenna Dietrich, you can reach her at soul411.com. Elizabeth Ann Hill, you can reach her at gatewayforthegoldenage.com. And any other websites you want to mention, Elizabeth? Because you've got like 1,000 of them.
Well, Interview with the Universe is the main one that I would prefer people reach. And then I also have Sacred Site Journeys. We are taking a group of people to Egypt in March of 2009. And we have been told by the guides that there's a huge awakening going on there, especially where we're going to be going. And so that's sacredsitejourneys.com. And that would probably be the best, too, for me.
Great. Okay. We've got a chat room question here. Elizabeth, when does The Gift come out, your other children's book?
Oh, well, it's in the hands of the illustrator because she has to scan it and get it into the format. So it'll probably be a little while, but it's a very beautiful book, and that one was also, I feel, channeled, and the artist also channeled. She's amazing. So
yeah.
Not really sure on that, to be honest, but probably within this next year.
Okay. Well, I'll keep everybody posted. We'll have you back on the show when that comes out. Once again, folks, if you're in the Knoxville area, next weekend, August 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Get Into It Holistic and Natural Health Expo, Glenna, Elizabeth, myself, good friend of the show, Curtis Foltz. A lot of other wonderful people will be there, and so check us out. You can get more information on that at soul411.com. Other than that, I think we're about ready to wrap up. Once again, thank you, everybody, for being here, all you chat room people, all your wonderful questions. Sorry they didn't get all get answered. And I will see you guys very soon. Thanks for being here.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lisa.